Hello and welcome to this episode of the Radlett Prep Podcast. This episode has been put together by members of the Radlett Prep Podcast Club that meet on Wednesdays after school. First up today, we have 6K's assembly on storytelling.
Good morning and welcome to 6K's assembly about National Storytelling Week. What is National Storytelling Week?
National Storytelling Week is a week of celebrating storytelling and encouraging people to tell their own stories.
National Storytelling Week takes place in lots of places, such as storytelling clubs, theatres, museums, schools and hospitals.
This fantastic annual event is a joyful celebration of the power of sharing stories. Stories teach us about the world. They allow us to step into someone else's shoes and feel empathy. They help us relax and escape, and they can help develop essential literacy skills.
When is National Storytelling Week?
National Storytelling Week is taking place from 29th of January to 5th of February.
This year, the theme is
Dream Up the World!
National Storytelling Week is all about celebrating stories. This is a week-long celebration of the oral tradition of storytelling. Many stories have been passed down through generations across cultures for centuries.
National Storytelling Week is celebrated by people of all ages. Stories of folk tales, fairy tales, phantoms, dragons, serpents, lost treasure and found fortunes are told throughout the week.
These are some of our favourite stories.
What are your favourite stories?
You?
Alex Rider.
Good choice.
You?
The Children's Bible.
Jack Rabbit.
One Piece.
One Piece.
Humans have been telling stories to each other since time began. In many ways, telling each other's story is part of what makes us human.
Stories have been shared in every culture as a means of entertainment, education, cultural preservation, and instilling moral values. Stories stir up our imaginations in ways that can lead us to new and useful ideas. Also, they have value.
Storytelling is recounting a story through voice and gestures. It can take many forms, including poems, chants, rhymes, songs, and more.
There are two elements of oral storytelling. The performance part, which is the telling part, and the story itself. Both elements are important.
So why bother telling a story? Think about when you last told a story.
It might have been while walking to school. It might have been in the car on your way home.
It might have been something you heard on the radio.
Stories don't always have to be fictional. They can be real stories of adventure, love, and misfortune.
We are often interested in the world around us, and hearing stories helps us to develop empathy, excitement, and wonder.
Why do we tell stories?
We tell stories about what we can do at school, stories about funny or scary things that have happened to us, or even stories about what we've seen on TV.
Our imaginations are fired by storytelling, and everyone has a story to tell.
Throughout time, stories have had to pass.
Our knowledge of history has depended on storytelling. We heard the tales that Shakespeare told. We have listened to the misfortunes of Dickens characters like Oliver Twist. We have heard the stories of Disney characters and those of Percy Jackson and Harry Potter.
Think about someone you think is a good storyteller. It might be your friend. They might make their stories funny and entertaining. Their stories may be shocking and keep you on the edge of your seat.
Aesop's, the hare and the tortoise, had to learn not to boast and think he was so much better than the tortoise.
Marlon found the Nemo had to learn to not take himself too seriously, chill out more and trust others. The undertones of many stories is the fight between good and evil, as in Star Wars and traditional tales.
Why are stories and storytelling so important?
Storytelling helps people to feel close to each other and to become friends. Storytelling helps people to understand things that happen in the world.
Stories can teach us about our past. They help us explore ways of life, traditions, and often we tell easily and fondly.
Stories can teach us a lesson, a moral. They can be warnings, and they can be funny, scary, or explain things to us. They can be fairy tales and myths. Storytelling is also fun.
Many famous people are storytellers. For example, comedians, soap stars, theatrical actors, and street performers tell stories that people can relate to and understand.
Storytelling and interesting.
Now, you're
going to
watch a clip of the first storytelling laureate, Taffy Thomas MBE.
Hi everyone, it's me, Taffy Thomas, the first laureate of storytelling laureate. For more than 400 years, the famous poet laureate, starting with Lord Byron. And then 20 years as the children's laureate, including Michael Rosen and Michael Malpurgo, whose books you probably all know. 12 years ago, they decided they need a storyteller laureate, because storytelling is important. And I was honoured that they invited me to be the first laureate for storytelling. Now, I said that storytelling is important. Well, I suppose I'll tell you why it is important. Storytelling preserves the past, reveals the present, and with your help, creates the future. Also, you can't write a story unless you can tell a story. And you can't tell a story unless you've heard a story. And stories have legs. Stories have legs because I walked over to sit down in this chair. 350 stories walked over with me. They were in my head. Some of those stories will walk with you in your classroom or when you go home to tell your family and your friends. I'm going to tell you a story now which has walked all the way here from China. It came from China as a story about a mandolin. Because it's found a home in England, it's now a story about the mayor of a town. But you don't get the story unless you can solve a riddle. This is the riddle. I've got black eyes and golden hair. They grow towards my namesake, high in the air. What am I? Black eyes, golden hair, and they grow towards my namesake, high in the air.
What is the answer to the riddle?
Well, the answer, of course, is the sunflower. So you know there's going to be a sunflower in this story. The mayor of the town was very old. Time was approaching when he would have to retire. Before he could retire, he had to choose a successor. Lots of people wanted that job, because you got to wear a big gold chain, and you got driven around a big car, and he got lots of free dinners. Everybody wanted to be the new mayor of the town. So how can he choose a successor? Well, the mayor went to ask the wisest person in the town, who was actually a gardener, and he explained the problem to the gardener. And the gardener smiled, told the mayor to put his hand out, and in his hand he put a handful of sunflower seeds. And in the mayor's ear, he whispered a cunning plan. So the mayor went back to all the people who wanted his job. Now all of you, line up, put your hands out. In each of their hands he put 1, 2 sunflower seeds. So now you find a big flower pot, fill it with soil, and you can act this out if you like, and you tell the story to your friends. And then you make, fill the soil, cut the soil down, make 2 holes, in each hole you drop a sunflower seed. So you water the pot and push it out into the yard for the sunshine and the rain. You come back in a month, and whoever's grown the biggest, the best sunflower will be my successor. Bit of a strange way of deciding already. Anyway, young Jack, who's 8 years old, and he's Bum. He said, Bum! Bum! I need a big flower pot. That's not a time to make a flower pot. And Jack filled it with earth, with soil. Then he patted the soil down. And he made 2 holes. 1, 2. In each hole, he dropped a sunflower seed. And he walked the pot, pushed it out into the yard, and get the sunshine and the rain. Then Jack washed his hands and went to bed. It was only 2:30 in the afternoon. That was enough work for one day. The next morning, Jack leapt out of bed, washed and dressed, and out to the yard, looking for those telltale green shoots. But nothing grew. All he had was a pot of dirt. And so it was every morning for a month. Nothing grew. So at the end of the month, Jack's mother said, Jack, the month is up. Take the pot down to the mayor's house and see if you've won. Jack said, there's no point in me going. All I've got is a pot of dirt. And his mother, who was very wise, said, no, you've done your best. Take it. So Jack picked the pot up, it was so heavy it made his little knees bend, and he lugged it down to the mayor's house. When he got there, there was a big long queue of people, all holding pots, burgeoning with bright yellow sunflowers. Sunflowers as big as a dinner plate. And on the end, for Jack, with his pot of dirt and a tear trickling down his cheek. And the mayor looked along the line, he saw the big yellow flowers, and he saw Jack with a pot of dirt. And he turned to Jack and he said, you will be my successor. You will be the next mayor of this town. And Jack said, I don't understand. All these people have got big yellow flowers, and all I've got is a pot of dirt. And the mayor said, yes, but I gave you all the same seeds. And before I gave you those seeds, I boiled them so they could never grow. So you are the only one who's been honest. So you are the only one who's fit to be the mayor of this town. So that's the story of the pot of dirt or the sunflower. And this summer, in your school park, perhaps by your school chair, in the pot, if you plant a sunflower, it'll grow bigger than your teacher. And you can tell the story. The sunflower has come all the way from China by a neat Tappy Thomas the storyteller to you.
Writing, listening, and telling stories. All children in our class are very good storytellers. We have written some stories that we'd like to share with you.
play in the form of a story, and it's called Homework Odyssey. Homework excuses, they seem to have no end, like the tales of daring adventures made up by my best friend. Like the aiming took my rucksack to their galaxy to study English and maths for 11 plus, you see. My goldfish turned monster, a paper-eating beast. He gobbled on my homework and had a big feast. Or blame it on time travel, a wild escapade. The caveman borrowed it and haven't returned it to date. The ghost floated down and took all my notes. And now in the spooky attic, my homework floats. It could also have been a squirrel with skills and lots of guts. And is now learning French from my folder while snacking on nuts. My pen is on strike. It's demanding more pay. No words on paper. It's protesting today. The polar bear has my science notes, much to my dismay. He wants to stop climate change before the glaciers melt away. I can make these excuses. I can joke all I like. But really deep down, I know it's not right. So with a pen in my hand and a determined soul, let's finish this homework and let the wisdom unroll.
I've written a story called The Dragon and the Mole. In a world full of magic and adventure, and where dreams come true, this dragon is mighty as a lion and as brave as a warrior. He was the guardian of the forest, and his duty was to protect the city of Emerald, hidden within the forest. His scales were a vibrant shade of red, and his eyes were like the colours of the rainbow, all in one. His claws were as sharp as blades, and his tail stretched many miles. But like any warrior, there were things that he had to fight for and fight against. And it was in one of these battles that he learned a lesson. One magical morning, while the sun was rising and creatures searched for some breakfast, an earthquake shook the forest. It vibrated so hard that trees fell to the ground and mountains began to shake. The dragons immediately snapped into action, ready to fight. But no matter where he looked, the source of the earthquake was nowhere to be found. He settled back to the ground and wondered if there was a false alarm. Moments later, it happened again, seeming to have gotten stronger. The dragon looked around confused. Suddenly, a mole piped up from under the surface and caught the dragon's attention. "Hello, Mr. Dragon," it squeaked. "I can help you find the source of the earthquake." The dragon looked at the mole, obviously not believing it. "A little mole can help me," the dragon boomed. "Something as big as this will crush something as small as you." The mole, shocked, jumped back into the ground, offended by the dragon's words. Hours later, the earthquake struck again. The dragon began to worry. He was the guardian of the forest, and he didn't even know where the earthquake came from. Without the dragon expecting it, the mole appeared on the ground with something to say. "Mr. Dragon, Mr. Dragon," the mole squeaked. "I know what is causing the earthquake. It's an ogre." The dragon looked at the mole, surprised to see that it had found out what caused the earthquake. An ogre? It did make sense. The dragon then remembered what his guardian teacher once told him about earthquakes. If there was ever an earthquake, the ogre is a likely source where it came from. The mole had helped him remember that. The dragon shamefully thought of his actions. He shouldn't have been so ignorant and rude. He knelt down and apologised for his behaviour. Together, the mole and the dragon found the ogre and told it to stop making earthquakes and use its talent to help protect the forest. Soon, the mole, the ogre and the dragon became the best of friends, all contributing to help defend the forest.
Storyteller, you want to be.
Happy storytelling!
And thanks once again to 6K for that brilliant assembly. Next up, we have an interview with Miss Smith. The children were interviewing her about NSPCC Number Day, which her and Mrs. Kapitko have put together.
What is NSPCC Number Day?
What is NSPCC?
Oh, it's when the children do a maths challenge and they raise money for the number of sentences they get right, and then they're sponsored and they bring in money for charity, for NSPCC, which helps the children who are in need.
In what ways will this day benefit the children?
It helps consolidate their maths learning and understanding different words for maths problems.
What usually happens in school on that day?
Every class will do a number challenge and raising money for the charity, and hopefully enhances their love of learning.
What's some examples of the games that they play on the day?
They sometimes will play games like dominoes, or even something simple like snakes and ladders, where they can go along on the board and use a dice, which again helps their number work.
When was NSPCC Number Day founded?
Oh, do you know what? I'm not quite sure on that, but I know it's been running for quite a few years. I would probably say, well, I've been doing it for about the last 5 or 6 years.
Is this an annual event that happens every year in the school?
It is. You are correct. It's every year and we do it in the school, yes.
In which ways do teachers combine learning and fundraising during this day?
We are learning our maths. And then it helps with also when they're being sponsored, so they understand the importance of helping other people and helping with their maths work.
What do you think is the most fun part of the day?
The most fun part is probably for the children playing the maths games. In fact, actually, probably for a teacher to see the excitement of the children with their games.
Why did you choose to involve this day in the children's learning curriculum?
Because it's done throughout the country, we thought we'd join in. The charity is a very good charity to raise money for, so why not join in with other schools that are doing the same thing?
Is this event in other schools also there as well, or is it just our school?
No, other schools throughout the country will be doing the same thing today.
What is your favourite part of the day?
My favourite part of the day is seeing the children really trying hard for the maths challenge, but also I like watching them play maths games.
Next we have an interview with Mrs. Stock, who took a group of children from school to see the Frameless Art Exhibition in London.
Good morning, Mrs. Stock.
Morning, Jake.
What expedition or gallery did you go to?
We went to a gallery called Frameless, and Frameless is a marble arch in London.
Did you like the exhibition?
The exhibition was great. It was extremely interactive and the children seemed to love it.
Can you tell us a bit more about the expedition?
We went on a coach and it took us into Marble Arch, and the children got to go into 4 rooms and have a look at all the different types of art and be inspired by it, basically.
Which painting was your favourite?
Probably The Tree of Life by Gustav Klimt.
Who is your favourite artist?
That's a really, really difficult one. I will have to have a think about that and get back to you, but I do love Klimt.
Have you ever had an inspirational artist?
I feel inspired all the time by artists. Mr. Warren, he owns the school. He is a great inspiration. His art's around. You'll have to have a look.
Is there any paintings that you don't like?
There are some type of paintings I don't like. I'm not a massive fan of Dali or anything creepy.
Out of the day, what was your favourite part?
My favourite part was the interactive room where the children got to kick the leaves and kick the blossom, and it was really good fun.
Thank you for listening to us today.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, boy.
Finally today, we have Johan with a book review.
Hello, people. Johan here today, and I'm going to give you a book review on my favorite book, The Sun and the Star. The book is set in a fiction world, which is like the world we know, but filled with Greek mythology. It tells the tale of a young boy called Nico D'Angelo, who must journey through the underworld, a place filled with the monsters of ancient Greece, like Medusa and the Minotaur, the heroes of Greek myths, like Perseus, and the gods of Greece, like Zeus and Hades. Nico must journey through the land of the dead in order to rescue a friend called Bob. Yes, his name is Bob. Nico is also a demigod, which means he's the son of a god. In particular, he's the son of the god of death, called Hades. Written by my favorite author, Rick Riordan, it is an epic book that tells a tale of power and friendship, perfect for Greek history geeks and lovers of Percy Jackson, as it is set in the same world as those Percy Jackson books. Finally, to end things off, I will give this book a 5 stars and 11 out of 10 rating. Thank you for listening to me today, and bye.
Thanks once again for listening to this episode of the podcast, and stay tuned for future episodes. Bye for now.